Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear Blog Talk Radio program. I am Susan Larison-Dans, and today I know that we are all going to enjoy talking with really quite a wonderful guest, and his name is Alfonso de Rose. Now, Alfonso is quite a charismatic spiritual leader who also has a very special story that he shares about his own journey from the heart that really allows us to connect to him and to his message and to all that he's doing in the world. He has really played a role in assisting literally thousands of people worldwide. He has helped them in a myriad of ways. He has helped them most of all with love, with the art of love and applying love in multiple ways. He has helped them in their careers with health and spirituality. He is very much known for helping people with weight loss as well. And he is the author of a book that is upcoming called Make Love with Food and Lose Weight. It's Your Birthright to Be Thin. There is an open chat room today if you happen to be listening to the show live. And the call-in number for the show is 310-807-5104. Also, you can see Alfonso's website up on the show page if you choose to look a little bit more at all that he is up to, because he provides numerous workshops throughout the year on a number of different topics that are just so very helpful to people. So I have to say that I'm really delighted to welcome Alfonso on the show. Hello, Alfonso. Welcome.
Thank you, Susan. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, and I'm excited.
Wonderful. Well, I was telling you before the show that something very special happened before your show, which is really interesting in that Blog Talk Radio is featuring the show in a new way, and it's a tremendous gift. And so I feel that it has to be a joint manifestation, and so I'm just very happy to see it. Alfonso, I was wondering if you could start this with telling us some about your journey, because I found it to be quite inspiring. How did you come to this work, Alfonso?
You know, I started many years ago back in Italy. My mother, she was in a mental hospital, and I was 7 years old. And she looked at me and she said, "Do me a favor, never let me die in a mental hospital." And I said, "Yes, Mom, I promise you." And without realizing it, she gave me a purpose in life right there at 7. So I started to, the seed was planted, and I started to search, to look, to find ways to help her in many different ways. And, of course, as I started to get older, I started to think I'm starting to look for ways to help her, and I thought I had to be stronger to protect her. And so I joined the gym, and soon enough I became a bodybuilder, and I became a bodybuilder champion in Italy until I decided to come to United States at the age of 22. And when I came in United States, I realized that unconsciously it was to help my mother, but also to help myself, because I started to deal with depression, with addictions. Yeah. I started to go into drugs. I didn't speak the language. Things that was extremely difficult. And so I started to explore a new muscle that at that time I didn't know I have. I had started to look within. I used to live in a car. I didn't know how to make a living. It was extremely difficult. And someone gave me a book. And I started to translate this book, and it was a spiritual book. And it changed my life. And it took me 3 months to read it, but it changed my life. And so after that, I started to go from being a bodybuilder into being a mind builder. And so I started to explore the mind, and I took countless of courses. And something interesting happened that I was a bodybuilder, had this great physique, and I started to gain weight. And then I started to keep looking and say, what's going on here? Things started to get better. I started to speak English. But then I realized that my body, there was something off with my body. And I realized that even when I was a bodybuilder and when I was even overweight, I was protecting. I was protecting my heart. And so I went into the heart building period of my life where I realized that I had to let go of all this protection. And so I let go the weight, I let go the all the muscles as well, and I realized there was a protection, it was an emotional protection all around myself. And then I started to go into the spirit building, how I call it. And so as I started to go this journey, the seed was planted many years ago by my mother, and I had no idea what was going to take me. Initially, I thought it was about this bodybuilding thing, and then eventually went into the spirit, and it's been a journey. And so initially, when I came in the country, I was helping people, bodybuilders, athletes, to release the weight with diet, with exercises, and things like that. Then I went into the mind, and so I studied psychology, I studied neurolinguistic, hypnosis, and started to go into a very, very deep meditation, traveling all around from Burma to India to Sri Lanka to Europe and North Africa, and study with different teachers, with shamans, with gurus, you name it. I had this incredible hunger since I was seven years old for something. And I realized that the hunger was the hunger for love, hunger for spirit, hunger for the divine. And so I, from helping people from the body, the mind, then I went into understand how emotions work, the emotional walls, how to open completely to release, and then go into the spirit. And so now I have a ministry where we have something like 14 different events where I teach anywhere from weight loss from within, now with diet, now with even exercises, but just the releasing from within, making love with food, and releasing the emotional wall, which is really what fat is about. I call it fear, anger, trap. And then we have courses to increase prosperity, something that had to deal in my life as well. Courses to manifesting, having the power of faith, and maybe that's what happened in our, you know, right now you just got this beautiful news about your radio show, and that's part of, you know, I believe in miracles.
True. Yes, and, you know, I have to tell you a quick story. Alfonso, a couple days ago, in fact, it may have even been yesterday, I was hovering over the button to potentially upgrade this show where you can pay a lot for this. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, maybe I should do it. I'll manifest it every month, what I need. But I was resistant. And I didn't do it, and then it just came without anything. I mean, they apparently now award this to some shows. It said that they were happy about the quality of the show, and they just gave this to me. And I feel that it came from the universe, yes. And it had to have something with faith because I was so close to just doing it and trusting, and I was in that space, and the universe heard. I really feel that, and I think
I get goosebumps.
Yeah, and right before your show, I mean, we are talking, I only just confirmed it, Alfonso, 5 minutes before your show, And there it was,
wow.
Featured at, you know, right at the top of the spirituality page. There was the show, and I was so happy. And I had to share that with you, Alfonso, because, you know, we're all doing this together. I've been talking to other people who come on this show. And you know, where I celebrate my own role in it. I mean, that's part of my own love for what I do. I've been doing this 2.5 years now, and it's really coming together, but it's also a joint manifestation. All the magical people coming, including you today, on this day when it would happen, it's a wonderful thing. So thank you for your part in it, Alfonso. I appreciate it.
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Just the spirit of your work. Now, I know that in one of your videos, it so got me, about food. And I will tell you, you know, I approach this show very honestly. I would love, in fact, how I heard about your work was at an expo. One of your people came up and was talking to me about the whole weight loss thing. And it is an area that I'm very interested in personally. I'd like to lose some weight. And the way that you talked about fear and how we've learned to fear food and that we don't enjoy food, and it's really powerful. I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit more for a moment.
Yes, and, you know, what is interesting is that in the 50s, when the first diets started to appear, what happens is that there has been what diet, really a typical diet, it teaches to fear food. It teaches you that if you eat carbohydrates, if you eat pizza, if you eat pasta, basically you're going to gain weight. I know people that they are complete, try to live life carbohydrate free completely. I know people that they are, I've been there myself, by the way. I've been slave of that kind of diet and everything.
Yes.
And one thing I realized that what made me overweight back in the days, it wasn't pasta, it was fear of the pasta. It's because fat is, see, it's energy. It's energy all around your body. It's an emotional thing. It has nothing to do with food. Certainly, when you eat too much food, it becomes fat, but the reason is not what you eat, but why you eat it.
Yes.
Why you eat is way more important than what you eat. Food is asked to be a sacred, eating food a sacred event. It's a communion. In the New Testament, Jesus, a bunch of times, he feeds people with bread. He does the Last Supper. He gives. It's a communion. What does it mean? It's a moment of receiving energy inside our body. But the energy is not there to be feared. The energy is there to be received with no emotional turmoil, no fear. And so some of the programs I do in the upcoming book is really to transform and rechange the thinking and the emotions all around food. So when you just land on your table, you eat your pasta, or you eat whatever you want to eat, you're present and you have the most incredible pleasure. Because one of the missing key is that pleasure makes you release weight. The real pleasure.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Yes,
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
It's some of the things that are completely forgotten because we are so used to stay in our mind when we eat. We need to count the calories. We need to eat in a certain way. We need to be careful in what we eat. We need to look at the labels, how much sugar, how much carb. And so we just eat mentally. We're just stuck into the mind. And so we feel some kind of pleasure, but it's not a pleasure that I'm talking about. The pleasure that I'm talking about is a completely surrendering to that very sacred moment of eating food. And that's why I call it making love with food.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual experience every time. It's not just when you're going to church. Every time that you eat. It's a communion, and that communion It has to be done with food that you enjoy eating. For myself, what a freedom it happened for myself. I was a bodybuilder. I was a slave of diet. I was eating all the sugar breast and water and stay away from all kind of other so-called forbidden foods. What a relief. What a joy. What a opening I started to have when suddenly I realized that I need to take away all those fear away from my life. Food is not the enemy. Food is your friend. Now, of course, I put natural food, organic food, GMO-free food, but in 1800, there were not overweight people. In 1800, there were not obese people. In 1800, people there were not diets. There was no fear of food. There was not obesity. People were just eating. They were having pleasure. And so I went back into my memories of my grandmother in Italy. My grandmother in Italy, she was sitting every morning next to me and said, "What do you want me to cook for you today?" And she would cook the most. And she was in great shape. She was eating pasta two times a day at least, was eating pizza, but there was also community there. And so the reason why people were eating food was different of why we eat it in nowadays. Nowadays, we eat food because we live a such a high-stress life. We eat food because emotional eating, to soothe stress. We are so busy, we don't take the time to enjoy it, to have pleasure, to sit down. But food is not the enemy. The question is not what you eat. The question is why you eat. What is the hunger? What is the real hunger behind? If it's emotional, if it's mental, there is no pleasure, and there is no weight loss. There is weight gain.
Now, something I've noticed, Alfonso, and I'm wondering what you would say to this. If I eat too much, I don't feel good. I mean, when you're doing it, it seems okay, but then right after, you do not feel good. You ate too much, and so you think to yourself, why did I do that? And I'm just wondering, what about that? What about the portions? How can we enjoy food in a way that, you know, makes us feel good and still eat to be satisfied and not totally be afraid, you know, like you say, you know, constantly monitoring what we're eating? Where is that balance, Alfonso, so that we can feel good?
You know, again, it's awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few things that I recommend all the time. When you eat, because to me, eating is, it is a sacred experience. The television, number one, the television out. You cannot watch television. In most of houses, how can you? Because you lose awareness.
That's
so
true.
So, of course, stop eating too much. So, I would say, not television, not computer, not phone, not reading, and not driving, no car, not television. Just eliminating those few things, you're going to lose 10 pounds.
Wow.
Because, I see it all the time. And
That's something.
You know, it's just so difficult to stop and say, I am just going to eat the food.
Yeah.
And so eating, it becomes like a television. It's a feast with the television, with the radio, with the computer. And then you become absolutely unconscious and end up eating too much. And then you don't feel good, like you say, because the body is not designed to eat too much.
Yeah, and wonder, you know, how did this bring me any kind of satisfaction if right after I'm feeling not well, you know? And you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the movie Eat, Pray, Love, and how she's in Italy. Now, in that movie, she claims to gain a lot of weight there, but just the relationship she has with food in Italy, both in the book and in the movie, it's just, it can be quite a powerful thing. And it's reflected in that movie, I felt, and the book.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I see people all the time going to France, Italy, and they say to France, they say, you know, I don't understand something. I've been eating a lot. I've been eating all this pizza, pasta, and I'm losing weight. Why?
Yes.
Well, it's because the cultures there they are evolve around food. What does that mean? It means that 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, everybody stop. I don't care what you have to do, how much work you do, you stop and you eat. There is community. Everything is evolved around food. Eating, it's a sacred, beautiful moment to enjoy pleasure with each other. And so even if you go there in vacation, you just get affected by those things. And people say, well, I walk a lot in Europe. No, it's not just the walking. It's the way that you eat. The energy there is like, you don't want to eat pizza? Are you crazy? Just surrender. Make love with that pizza, and you will lose the weight.
Wow.
It's happening in Europe as well. People started to gain the weight because they're losing. They start to get into the fast food, the fast cooking, and the fast eating mentality, which is one of the reasons of gaining the weight. And we have to reverse it slowly, go slow eating, slow cooking, and even slow shopping on the food to choose the right food. We got to put the time around that. And so it's interesting that instead to just go on the treadmill and instead to just keep changing a diet and counting calories, it's just about how you eat and asking yourself the question is, why am I eating now? Am I really hungry? Am I nervous? What kind of emotions I have right now? Am I eating too fast? And just asking a few questions, why do I put some food in the mouth?
You know, it's so true. The too fast, Alfonso, because we're always in a hurry, aren't we, in our society? If we're working at lunch, we might have, I used to work at a place that had a huge cafeteria, all kinds of things you could get, and they'd give you a giant plate of food. And, of course, you were in a hurry because you had to get back to work. We're always in a hurry. We even go out at night, we go on a date, and we're rushing to get to wherever we're going after the food instead of just enjoying the food. And from what you're saying is that we need to, it's almost counterintuitive, and yet it's very intuitive. Walk towards the food, embrace the food, and give it time.
Give it time and finding even a food eating partner. It's okay to eat with some people, to someone that enjoy the food. Someone who is nothing better to meet someone that enjoys food and eat together.
Yes.
And there is something magical happen there, because when two people, they start to have pleasure, at the same time, they become one. Obviously, it can be any kind of pleasure. It can be even watching the sunset together. But eating together, that's why I said, you make love with food, because when your endorphins, they start to go up and you start to have that pleasure, and two people that eat together, you become one. You start to get closer to each other, and there is a magical moment. I call it experience the magic. It's kind of, you leave your body, you have a sense, that sense of pleasure that start to take over. And when you do it, and that's why it's also in families, it's very important to eat together, because pleasure brings people together. You know, there are a few languages, a couple languages that the whole world speak. One is the language of food. The other one is the language of music. Everybody can get along with a nice meal, and everybody can get along with a nice music. I hear stories of people that in certain part of in the world where there are wars, and they get together, they dance together because the music put them together. And sometimes it's just food. I hear stories about the Italian soldiers in Afghanistan that, and there is the big joke that during the war, the Italians, they conquer some part of North Africa with food. Because even in Afghanistan, you hear stories about that, you know, wherever they are, the Italian soldiers, they stop and they make spaghetti together, and the Afghani joins, and the forces from all over the world, they join, and they all eat together. Food is a universal language because it brings pleasure. And then when we do that, we forget about the division among each other. I think in relationship, and that's how from food I went into the relationship, into the love and everything. The food, it was really a metaphor, a common denominator. But from food, it's just that when you are in a relationship, for example, one of the most beautiful things in a relationship is to share a good meal together. To talk about it, to be there. I don't know what other beautiful things there are in life than just share those special moments together, to share a sunset, to eat a good meal, and to look each other in the eyes, and that's it. You don't need anything else in life, and a good music, perhaps. That's it.
As you're speaking, I can almost see it. I can envision it in my mind. You're eating with someone you love, and you're hearing music. You know, for so long, whatever happened, Alfonso, to the restaurants? Remember in the old days we saw, you know, there'd be violinists there while you're eating. And maybe this is the case in Italy still. But you don't see that much anymore. I mean, and maybe something has been lost, that experience of not only having food, but music, you know, beautiful, very soothing music. And putting them together is a magical thing with good conversation and communion, as you say.
You know, you're so right, because right now you go even in nice restaurants, there's a television.
Yeah, exactly. And it's chaotic. You know, you walk in, you're right,
yeah.
It's loud, and it's blasting from several screens sometimes. And
yeah.
Yes, exactly. We've destroyed the entire experience, haven't we? That's really interesting.
In the old days,
even a nice restaurant, you know, Alfonso, even the nicer
yeah.
restaurants don't necessarily have, they can be very quiet, you know, and yes, there's something there, definitely. There's no question. Now, when you talk about all of this, it's a nice transition into, I know, which is another big topic that you help people with, is relationships and love and how we can love ourselves and then enter into these relationships. And I wonder if you could talk more about that as well, Alfonso, and also what you're doing with the WOW, which looks so interesting, and other things that you're doing in that area.
Yeah, you know, in the journey, as the journey was going forward, and I realized that really the ultimate way release, because the weight is a protection. When we put weight on, you know, I work with a lot of women that have been abused sexually, but also just having a broken heart, it's just enough to gain weight. You know right away that when you go through a situation like that, everybody gains a little weight, because in nature, extra weight is a protection.
Yeah.
Even when you get a cold, you start to gain a few pounds of liquid and even fat, because it is a protection. And so I realized that, you know, to really, to me, gaining weight was really the opportunity to look into my heart and say, hey, stop protecting, be who you are. And that's when the weight started to come down. And
yeah.
So when you start protecting and let go those walls, then you start to experience the magic with attraction of love, and you enter into the journey of love. And what is interesting is that obviously in the past 20 years, this love has been absolutely difficult to achieve. To find happy couples is not easy. Divorces are just happening all over the place. And so what is the answer to this? What we need to do? And one other thing I want to say, that in the past 40 years, because it's really been 40 years, it's been a beautiful moment for both sexes to evolve. And what I'm saying is that because both sexes, they found a place of independence. Men, they don't need a woman. A man can dance in his own femininity, whether he's straight or gay. He can dance in his own femininity, he can do his own laundry, he can cook for himself, he can make money, and he doesn't need a woman. A woman doesn't need a man. Women, they're super successful now. They are ahead of the game spiritually, financially, and so many different things. And they don't need a man. And so there are so many single people because of that. But even if you don't need a relationship, you want it. And now we are in a place of wanting it.
Yeah.
So before we were in a place of needing it, now we don't need it, but something is missing it. So now we are yearning for it. And so this was a moment, those years have been beautiful years to self-grow. Man, they went from being a macho, insensitive to women, to open their heart, to be almost too sensitive right now. And
interesting.
Women, true. Yes. Now, this is the age still where there is the sensitive men. And in fact, many of the reasons why relationships are not really working, because there is no polarity. There is now attraction, really, because what happens is that when there is no polarity, you inevitably become brother and sisters.
That is true. Everyone is friends, or as if friends, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to look and search in the Song of Solomon in the Bible, for example. They're very interesting. Because they're a beautiful piece of poetry. And in a few verses, in a chapter 4 of the Song of Solomon, he says, my sister, my bride. He doesn't say, my bride, my sister. You see, what does it mean? The first you become close like brother and sisters, and then you become lovers. You don't become lover first, and then you become brother and sisters. Otherwise, you lose it.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yes, it's just a different way to see it, to approach it. But because, and here's the beautiful thing, because I call it a new millennial man and a new millennial woman. The new millennial man is a man that evolved. And he went to his own feminine side, but he found also his masculinity back. He found his masculinity with an open heart. And so he's a more complete man. And the woman, the new millennium, is a woman that she found self-love. She found a place in a society of respect, but also she opened to her rainbow. It opens to her radiance. And so right now, we're about to enter into the new millennium. I believe that the new age is over. There is a new era. It's called the new millennium. And where men and women, they also started to be more evolved. And so there is a new millennium relationship where there is polarity again, because the new woman, she embraced her femininity back. The new man, but she embraced the femininity. Not like in the old days, that was just about the radiance, but now self-love. She's a strong woman, full of life, full of grace. And he's a man that can open his heart, can be sensitive, but at the same time can be the protector, that can be the provider, can embrace his masculinity, can be strong again. And so that creates an incredible new relationship where there is not just a sharing of two bodies. There is not just a sharing of life, there is a spiritual sharing.
Yes.
Because there is attraction, but also there is a deeper communication where a relationship can go way, way deeper than in the old days. I know that when I see people right now that maybe in the 80s or something, they had polarity, but for our perspective now, and not everybody, of course, the relationship was a little superficial on, like, you're the woman, I'm the man, we have certain rules and roles. then we have a relationship now that there is no polarity and there is no magnetism. But the new millennium relationship, there is, it's not about rules. It's about love.
Yeah.
It's about love. It's a different way of thinking. It's what is the best way? I mean, definitely there is always someone to lead and follow, because that is the nature of things. But not in a fascist way, in a way of love. And so the new question is, what is the best way for us to love to happen? So what does that mean? It's not what is the best thing for me to happen or for you. For us, for love.
Yes.
So
yes.
We put love first at the beginning. You know, again, to make references to the Bible, because sometimes I look also there among the many spiritual journey that I embraced in my life. But when God created Adam and Eve, there was Adam, Eve, and God. It wasn't Adam and Eve. There was Adam and Eve and God. And the moment that God left, there will start to be problems with
yes.
Adam and Eve. And
huh,
so what does that mean?
Interesting.
And God,
I
is
never
God.
Thought of it that way. That's amazing. That is an amazing way to think about that.
Yes, and so God is love. And so what does that mean? It means that before you eat together, before you make love, before you share anything, you pray, you bring the spirit inside, because it's impossible between men and women, even among gay relationship, because there's always a masculine and a feminine. It's almost impossible to get along. You need a referee, and the referee is love. And so the new millennial relationship, there is a more evolved woman, there is a more evolved man, and again, there is the presence of the spirit. There is a presence of love. Whatever you do, you don't choose based on what you think or what she thinks. You choose based on what love thinks. What is the best moment right now to have love? It's like being in a jacuzzi, and maybe she says, oh, I want it 100 degrees, and he says, I want it 95 degrees, and they start to get in a fight. But the question is, what is the best temperature for to keep love alive? What is the best way? And so we enter into the new millennium, and the wow that you were talking about is really having the journey of realizations that in order to go in a relationship, first, we have to find that openness, that love that is really the true nature of who we are. So when we go into a relationship, we don't go into a relationship on what can you do for me. We go in a relationship, I'm here to give.
Yes.
I'm here to give. I'm here to become one with love. I'm going this jacuzzi not because I want to feel a good temperature, because I want to fulfill my... I'm in this jacuzzi because I want the best love. I want to live this life at the best of the best. I want to travel the world. I want to sing my song. And I want to share it with you. And in order to share it with you, I have to recognize that I have love. I am love. I don't have to beg for your love. I don't have to suck your love. I'm here to give you love. I'm here to be with you. So the new millennium is when two people, they meet and say, I am here for you under the spirit, under this big omnipresent energy called love that is always there by invitation, by seeking and asking and knocking. And so the wow, I call it wow because it's a moment when people achieve the fullness of the cup, when you realize there's realization that there is no lack inside of self. We are super beings, basically, that, you know, like, for example, for you today, to manifest this beautiful miracle that happened for your radio show. And when I see those miracles happen, it means that there is something inside yourself that it's feeling. It's already feeling. And it shows to me that because there is no lack in you, you become attractive. You magnetize things. And that is love. It's a realization that there is nothing lacking within ourselves. So when we go in our relationship, it's not, what did you do last night? Why you didn't tell me this?
It's unconditional, isn't it, Alfonso? That unconditional love, that I keep feeling that word, unconditional. So free.
It's a crazy love. It's a love for of giving, no matter what's going on. You ain't paying, give. You feel tired, give. It's giving. So you work and you live your life for the sake of the divine. What else? What else there to do? You know, we have this guy came to see me in a few months ago, and he came to one of the seminars they do, and he met some of the girls that they were at the seminars, and he said, "Alfonso, I want your permission." And I said, "For what?" "I would like ask out to some of those girls." And I looked at him. I said, "Listen, before you ever do that, you need to go to the WOW. Because those girls, they are trained to love like crazy. And they don't settle for any. Those girls that he was interested, they came to a few of the retreats they do around the world. And those girls, they are masters, lovers. They are trained to love and to settle for anything less than the highest and the purest form of love." I said, "You're not ready yet. You're thinking with you below your waist. You're here for the wrong." Yes, I agree. Those girls, they are beautiful. But let me tell you something. Those girls are flower. Those girls, they know how to be treated like a flower. These girls, they know what love is. They experience the world. They are filled with love. If you even want to take one of them out to dinner, you need to be on a different level because they will not give you a second of their time. He signed up. And he signed up for it. But it's true. These people that they are been coming, they are trained to be master lovers. It doesn't matter if you're tired. It doesn't matter if you have money, you don't have money, what's going on. You're here to love. You're here to serve. You're here to give, to just have this explosion, this big bang called spirit, called love and giving. And so this is the new millennium. This is the new millennium relationship. And it's some of the things that I teach. I have also other retreats specific for this. But WOW, it's happening actually. Next week is the next, the end of next week is going to be in Costa Rica for a week, and it's very, very, very intense. And what is the goal? The goal is to become a master lover, And one of the things I do, I don't really collect students. I collect teachers. Teachers of what? Teachers of the world, because the new generation, and one of the things I love, it's children, the new generation. I know that, wow, I can't wait to see the next generation with this technology and tools. This generation now, after this 2012, we are what the 60s used to be. The 60s, they created a new age, the new thinking, the new thought, the new opening. And now that it's over, there is the new millennium, and we are the new generation. That I'm just curious to see this new people, the new millennium, what are they going to bring to this world? We are in evolution. We are in extension there. And in America is the place. I have to say it. This is a beautiful country, and I am so excited to live here. I am so blessed to live here because this opening of consciousness is only possible in the United States at this moment. That doesn't mean that someone else, there are other pockets in other places in the world where people can really are growing fast in consciousness, but America is the place. We are very, very lucky.
Yes, and it is spreading, Alfonso. I have a question for you, though, from my particular background and something I know is prevalent in America. And I'll even say it's kind of funny. When I first had the opportunity to bring you on the show, I was a little bit scared because I come, Alfonso, from a very conservative background. In America, you know, you have a very strong evangelical culture, and that was combined, and I only figured this out right before the show. I'm also Italian, and so I come, both of my parents are children of people from Italy, and there's kind of a very strong conservative, I mean, you'll laugh, I shouldn't say this, probably I thought of whether to say this, one of the only words I know in Italian, believe it or not, is puttana.
Of course.
And you might have to translate what that means, but I thought, now isn't that sad that that's the word that comes to, and I'm not saying anyone shouted that at me, actually that didn't really happen, but it's in, there can be this very conservative baggage that we carry, even when we're ready to release it. And I even laughed to myself, this will be the show that my mother will discover online. my Italian mother, who loves me dearly. But in any case, this is all representative, because I know I'm just one such person. Many of us carry some baggage. It's baggage of shame. It's baggage of not knowing how to fully open up. And I felt it coming into this show, and now I don't feel it at all. I mean, I feel so open, I'm able to ask you the questions, obviously, and I know many people are thinking it. So how do you help people that have this baggage? How do you help us to open up to ourselves and to love?
Yeah, and, you know, it definitely, I mean, there are different areas in the United States, in the world, where there's still a lot of taboos and fears. And I have to say, though, there are some people that are a little too open, too free.
Interesting, yeah.
As I believe in balance.
Yes.
I believe in the right balance, and I know that when we reach the moment of truth inside the heart, we realize that being too conservative, it's blocking us to experience the light of all lights.
Yes.
Because there are fears, there are taboos, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, and that is completely a mind control. But also, to be too liberal about certain things, we're going to lose.
The other way, yes.
It's the other way. So it's about balance, and the way that I do with people that they are very close, I know, and I learned how to wake up someone that is sleeping. You don't want to go and scream in their ears. You want to just go very gently. And, you know, in the moment you start to move them, you say, is that okay? Are you, you know, it's time to wake up. And then when I see that they started to wake up more and more, I turn on the light. And so one step at a time. And it's about trusting, and it's one step at a time. And trying to help people to let go all those walls, all those fears. And the question behind is always, how does it work for you? How's your intimacy with your partner? Is you have deep intimacy? Does it work? Is it there? Do you have taboo? Do we have fears? Because let's face it, everybody wants to be open. Everybody wants to be free. Why are people addicted to alcohol? Because when you drink, you allow yourself to be who you are. The Romans, they say, vino veritas, wine makes you truthful. So what I do, I make you drunk with the light.
Yes.
You get so drunk that you realize that you are become uninhibited, you become spontaneous, and all those fears, they're going to just go away, those preconceived dogmas idea. And so that is a slow awakening, and to letting go certain walls and say, hey, it's okay. Can I push a little more? But it always have to be gentle, because the mind has a lot of walls inside. Now, with someone that is a little too liberal, it's about being an example most of the time. And someone that is just cross boundaries with people or with different things, I know how just learning myself to set those boundaries so they cannot cross it, and they can learn how to not to do that. And eventually, when there is a community, when there is an event, we all become one. So someone that is too conservative becomes more liberal. Someone that is too liberal becomes a little more conservative. And when we are in balance, there is union, communion, and love.
Yes. I really like that, Alfonso. Yes, the balance. Because so often people fall into situations, for example, where you're in a relationship, and it's almost inevitable in some ways, one person is more liberal, perhaps, than the other person, and yet they want to find that place where they meet. I mean, I've encountered this many times, and so, not many times, but I've encountered it. And so the question, you know, it sounds like you actually teach people, you show them ways to meet, you know, which feels safe to them and gentle and not forcing anything that's too challenging for a person. I mean, it sounds very gentle and balanced, as you say. That's so important. I'm very happy to hear it.
Yeah, you know, it's very funny because I live in Los Angeles, and the LA area is more liberal, but when you go in Orange County, is going south of Los Angeles, it's more conservative.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because, especially in the United States, it is a new concept for me. There is, you are the Republican or Democrats. And the Republican, they don't want to marry the Democrats, and the Democrats, they don't want to marry the Republicans. But my take is that God is neither Republican and neither liberal. God is love, and my party is love. And we all have to give up some things, and sometimes we have to just find the right balance. Because love is the river that is in balance. There is no one way or the other. It is balance. And so we can find what really makes us one, to become one with each other and open the mind. But the opening to each other is the most important thing, because that is called intimacy. When we have taboos, when we have fears, and one I noticed because working with so many people, I see, for example, guys that they just don't tell things to their woman, or women, they don't tell things that they met. They tell me, but they tell to each other because they're afraid to be judged. And what I teach is about not judging each other. We all, whatever your background, we are not perfect. We have some weird ideas. We all need help. We're here, love is complete. Being naked in front of each other and say, hey, this is what I am. I'm not perfect. I'm not afraid to tell you. I'm not afraid to show you. You know, one time I had this girl, she called me. She said, Alfonso, I really need to see you. I need to talk to you in front of my boyfriend because I'm afraid to say something to him. And I said, okay. So they both came to see me and said, okay, you can tell him what you want to say to him. And she was crying. She didn't want to say it. And she said, okay, I have to tell you, they were together for a year, and they've been intimate with each other. And she told him, I have to tell you, I was afraid to tell you, but I have genital herpes. And she was crying, and he looked at her, and he said, me too. And
then
everything ended up into a laugh. But
sure.
For say, how many relationships they don't really fully honest to each other? How many relationships they don't tell each other? Intimacy, it's about being raw without mask. And be absolutely raw and real. And that's the beginning. That's the beginning, the ultimate vulnerability. And, of course, even then, we do need a referee. We need a spirit. We need a Holy Spirit. We need a light to keep things together, even when there is lack of communication, lack of understanding, emotional turmoils, emotional differences, because masculine people, they have the tendency to suppress their emotions. Men, they are emotions. They have emotions. They're very emotional, but they hold it in. Women, they express it. And so there are so many communications among relationships. It's not just verbal. There are emotional communications, and that's what happens, especially when you're in a relationship for a long time. there are all those blackmails and unspoken emotional communication that once we learn the language of emotions, it's like, wow, we've been fighting and without saying a word. No wonder we can be intimate with each other. We have this wall of energy. And so there are so many communications that they need to be learned.
Yes.
In our relationship. And yes. But what a beautiful journey to really find ourselves, who we are more. Our relationship is nothing but a mirror. A mirror to show what is it in myself that I need to love myself more. What is it? The relationship is never a place where you want to point a finger and you say, oh, there is something wrong with him, something wrong with her. It's always a reflection. It's always an opportunity to self-grow. It's a mirror. It's like spending hours on the mirror and say, oh, I can see myself now. And so, but we are in the new millennium. The new millennium, it's because as a man and women, we are way more evolved. We learn about each other, and now we are ready. We're ready for fireworks. We're ready for a trip. We're ready to bring back certain values of communion among two people that they can last longer than 6 months.
Yes.
Or longer than a year.
I love that word. I love that word, communion, Alfonso. That's a beautiful thing. Now, I want to tell you, we're in the last almost 3 minutes. This conversation has gone by so quickly. I mean, what beautiful things you've had to share. And, you know, I want to thank you. You have a peaceful energy about you that put me totally at ease as a host talking about these things. Now tell me, Alfonso, I know that you have an online event coming up, because I actually have some involvement in it just in the background. I'm helping a little with the publicity. Online Evolve Palooza, I think it's called. I should probably put it up on the site. And then you have your retreat coming up as well. Can you talk about some other things that are coming?
Yes, we have the Evolve Palooza, which is an event that you can see online. If you go to evolvepalooza.com and we'll go on my we have a Facebook page or Twitters and a fan page, or my website alfonsoderose.com, and it's just another beautiful event, and it's going to be on Skype, so we can also see each other. And that's going to be Friday, May 17th from 4 to 5 in the Pacific time. The WOW is starting May 25th in Costa Rica. We have just a few spots left. The WOW is really there. I can't wait to be there in the magical jungle of Costa Rica, and is the place to really go into what we talked about now, to open us love, to let go of the protection and realize that you are love. You don't need a partner. You don't have to be with a partner. We have people that fell in love there. I had to marry some people because when your heart open, you just, it's just what happened. So that is going to be in Nosara, Costa Rica, starting May 25th until June 1st, next week. Also, the release of the book, Make Love with Food and Lose Weight, is going to be on June 15th. And again, we can do pre-orders and everything, and the website is alfonsoderose.com.
Well, wonderful. I think we'll all look forward to following your work and the things that you have coming up over time. There may be people listening to this podcast in the future, and I know you just have such a wonderful array of events, including your faith workshop, which it looks like, and that's another one that seems to come up every once in a while. So
yeah, faith. It's actually we'll do it by donation.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's it's done by donation because it's about receiving the gift of faith. And that's something I really learned in my life when I was sleeping in the car. To receive the power of faith is the power of the Spirit. I saw miracles in my life, and it's my intention, my desire, my purpose to see the same thing in other people. And I cannot charge for that show, for that workshop, because it has to be a free gift. That is a free gift from the spirit. People give donation at the end, and it's been working by donation. We've done it in many different cities, even in South America. And that's going to be in election. It's going to be in L.A. June 22nd, 23rd. And I see people there manifesting miracles from receiving money, from healing. I saw people healing from cancer, liver disease, and miracles happen there. Now, the physical level, the financial level, and it's just a beautiful moment, a lot of learnings, and receiving that spiritual gift of faith, which is something that we really need right now. That we live in such a fear, terror. Faith is the answer. It's going to be June 22nd, 23rd in LA.
Yes. Well, that's wonderful that you give that from the heart in such a way. I mean, that's really significant. And by the way, we're now in the podcast, so everyone did hear your website and everything on the live show, and they've learned to come to the podcast after. So we're recording still in the podcast. You know, I just wanted to say, you know, a simple thank you, Alfonso. You have a beautiful spirit. I can feel it. It's very beautiful, and you're doing wonderful things. So thank you.
Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure, and thank you again. And God bless you. And I am so happy about this little miracle happening for you. And
thank you.
It's been absolutely a wonderful pleasure. And I know that you're doing great work, and I'm excited maybe to meet again and talking about the book when it's coming out.
Oh, I would love that, Alfonso, and I can so relate to that topic. I'm actually really looking forward to the book because I think it's personally, your work will personally help me, Alfonso, and that's how I heard of you to begin with. I mean, it was really quite magical, and now you're here. So I would love to have you on again. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. You take care. Yes.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Just to wrap up the show, I will just wrap up with a couple of show notes regarding what's coming up. We are having another show on Thursday, May 16th. At 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, same time as today. And this will be a very different kind of show. It is actually going to have a guest from Israel, Françoise Tabika. She has a PhD in chemistry, and she is one of the top researchers at Hebrew University. And she is also a very spiritual person as well, but she is going to talk about her research into molecular consciousness, why the universe is aware of our presence. And she is going to talk about that at the molecular level based on her expertise with a PhD in chemistry. So this is going to be a truly remarkable show. And then next week, I have PMH Atwater coming up. She is one of the top researchers in the world. She's known worldwide for her research into near-death experiences. Next week, we're going to be talking about her research into the new children on the earth. She's been on the show before last year, and we talked about this, and this we will continue the discussion, which is a beautiful follow-on to some of what Alfonso was saying about the young people and how they are so evolved. And that's what PMH will be talking about next week. That's May 23rd at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern. And I invite you to go to frontierbeyondfear.com. I can always add a show if I never know when a guest is going to come my way. In fact, Alfonso kind of just magically appeared, and I was so happy to welcome him. And so be sure to keep an eye on frontierbeyondfear.com for the schedule, and that's where you can also find all the archived podcasts as well as the link to iTunes if you prefer to subscribe there. And I'm continuing to enhance that site. Based on the new status of this show, I've actually been asked to do a few things by Blog Talk Radio to enhance the site, and I will be doing that to highlight the guests even more. And so I am just so thankful for the community around this show. On the FrontierBeyondFear.com site, if you ever feel so led to assist with the show, there is a way for you to donate to help support the maintenance costs as well. But I'm really most appreciative that you are simply here and that you're listening to these wonderful, wonderful guests sharing from the heart, sharing unconditional love, no matter what our path is. As I've said many times, I come from a conservative path. I'm opening up. So many of us are like that. There are those of you listening who are very, you know, come from very liberal paths. Well, you'd like to talk to people like me, and all of us can, we can meet together. We can find that place of balance. And that's why I was just so inspired by what Alfonso had to say about that in terms of love. So, again, thank you so much for being here. And wherever this show finds you, I hope you feel peace in your spirit, whether it's day or night. May you feel peace. Thank you again.